Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I'm here with Leslie Inman and Roxanne Jones, and let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Let's start with Leslie. So Leslie's area of expertise is marketing and sales, and she has an exceptional track record of cultivating new markets and boosting sales, often achieved by applying novel approaches. Leslie brings an important qualification to Retirement Voices. She is a serial retiree, having retired three times, with her most recent retirement in 2017. This has given her a deep understanding of the intricacies of this transition and the ability to relate to women who are moving into and through this phase of life. Leslie is a member of the Authors Guild, the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, AARP, and the Transition Network. She's a legacy scholar at the University of New England Center for Excellence in Aging and Health, and she lives in Harpswell, Maine. Okay, let me tell you about Roxanne Jones. Roxanne is an award-winning freelance writer, nationally recognized for her expertise in crafting content for hospitals and other healthcare organizations across the U.S. In 2015, Roxanne launched Boomer Haiku, a popular weekly blog that took a humorous and slightly irreverent look at life as a baby boomer, acquiring nearly 5,000 monthly visitors during its three-year run. A baby boomer herself, she's now downshifting into semi-retirement. As a result, she's keenly attuned to the emotional and practical challenges this transition poses for the women in the Retirement Voices community. Roxanne is a member of the Authors Guild, the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, and AARP, and she also lives in Maine, but in Cumberland, Forsyth. So Leslie and Roxanne, thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to talk with you both. And Roxanne, I had met you at the BAM conference, but I knew of your Boomer Haiku blog before that. And I just think you're really funny. And I'm glad we're finally doing this. And Leslie, I don't think we've met yet in person, at least, right? You weren't at that conference.
I was not. No, you and I have not met yet.
We have not met. That's right. Okay, so since you're both a first-time guest here, I'm going to start by asking you each to share something that, or not just something, you can share more than one thing. What do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Well, one of the things I enjoy is what I call my morning thoughts, which is maybe a little different. My husband gets up very early in the morning, and so when I wake up a little bit later, I purposely lie in bed for a few minutes and just kind of process what went on in my head the night before. I think about my, you know, plans for the day. I do have a journal next to the bed because sometimes morning thoughts turn into morning pages, if you're familiar with that.
I am.
But it's really just getting my day started by just focusing on me and what's going on. Then the only other thing that I would do that I call really me time is I do try to go out for long walks in the afternoon. I live near the ocean, and we have a private road that's about 2 miles long, so I can get out and go for a walk just by myself when I need to do that.
That sounds really nice.
It's interesting. My me time is at the other end of the day. The last thing I tend to do at night when I get into bed is I have about a half a dozen affirmations that I say in my head. And then I try to list five things that I'm grateful for that day. Mm. And it's just a nice way to drift off into sleep with something positive and that sense of gratitude.
It really is. Yes. I mean, absolutely. That gratitude is just, I mean, it's so important. Do you always have the same five things, or do you try to think of five different things?
Definitely try to think of five different things, which is why I make it specific to that day. Mm-hmm. You know, if something happened, specifically on that day. You know, I keep it focused, so it does keep it fresh, and I'm not just reciting the same things over and over.
That's great. Yeah, because it's easy to really not feel so grateful for those things if you just think about them all the time. But if you can find new things, that's great.
And sometimes, you know, you have one of those days where the thing you're most grateful for is that the day's over.
Sure is. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Friendship with me, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you both are coming together to write this book for women about retirement, which I think is wonderful. But before we talk about the book, I want you both to share a little bit about your own retirement journeys.
And it's interesting because they're quite different, which is what we appreciate about each other. I've been retired 3 times. We call me a serial retiree. So I really have, I think, a good sense for what it feels like to retire. I've had a lot of practice at it. Mm-hmm. First time I was 53 years old and went off sailing with my new husband at the time. And we both retired and took off. And I never expected to go back to work. But later when we came back, the Great Recession hit all of us and our retirement savings obviously took a hit. So I went back to work for a couple of years. When the money kind of got better, when our situation got better, I decided I wanted to retire again and did. Mm-hmm. But after a few years and we had moved to Maine, I found myself just feeling like I wasn't finished working for other people and was feeling kind of unsettled. So I went and got my last job and actually retired from that in the fall of 2017. And at the point now where I really don't want to work for other people, I think I've had enough of that in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But the one of the differentiations between Roxanne and me is when I retire, I do what we call a hard stop. It basically means that I'm at my last day of work on a Friday and Monday I wake up and I'm retired.
Right.
So it's you know, it's like leaping off a cliff. Mm. And I actually prefer to do it that way.
Yeah, I, on the other hand, am on what I call the glide path toward retirement. And I have the luxury of doing that because I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is downshifting, letting go of clients so that I have fewer of them. And so I have more time for me, more time to work on this book, and more time to enjoy life without constant deadlines. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to keep my brain engaged. I don't think I could do a hard stop. I'm so used to writing all the time that I think I might go stir crazy if I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that you both are great to bring together to write about this book on retirement, as you both have completely different journeys and, you know, and so women can relate to either one based on who they are. But let's talk more about why you decided to write this book.
Actually, because we couldn't find anything like this when we went looking for information about retirement. Mm-hmm. Both Roxanne and I were interested in the human impact of retirement, the social and emotional aspects. We found plenty of information about financial planning. There's lots of that everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when it came to things like, what does it really feel like? We couldn't find anything. Mm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because a lot of focus on retirement is on the financial side. A lot of those books are written by men. I hate to sound to generalize this way, but they don't tend to talk about the human side of it. And we women do, yet there wasn't anything that really spoke to the human side of this transition. And that's the part we were interested in. What can we expect from this stage of life? We just, there wasn't anything out there that told us from the perspective of so many women who've already been through it.
And it was like topics like, you know, how, when we're retired, how does that affect our identity when it's been so tied up in our work for so long? How does it affect our relationships? And if you have a spouse or a partner at home, you know, how's that going to work? And what kinds of things do people, what are the joys and challenges of being home all the time with your spouse? And things like structuring time. One of the big things for us, and we found through the women that are going to be included in our book, is that some people want to structure their time. They need structure and planning, and other people want full freedom. So there just wasn't a lot of information about all of these topics.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's be clear here to the audience that the book is not yet out, right? So you can't get it yet, but we'll talk a little bit more about how they can continue to follow you two on this journey. So we'll do that a little bit later. So let's keep talking about this book, and you know, it's obvious that you two are a great match for this book. You're friends, first of all, and you have backgrounds that are perfect for this, professional backgrounds that are perfect for publishing a book like this. And then you're going through it yourselves. So that's great. But let's talk a little bit more about, I mean, those are my observations of why you chose to write this together. But I'm curious to hear more a little bit more about that. And also, whose idea was it to write this book?
It was mine. It was Leslie's. And when I retired the fall of 2017, and having retired so many times before, I had paid a lot of attention to other people. And one of the things that I noticed was some women retired easily. They moved right in from their work life into a new hobby or even a new business or whatever. They found a very easy transition. Some people really struggled with it for a while, but eventually found their footing. And some people just never seemed to like retirement and would oftentimes end up going back to work. And I found that really interesting, and I wanted to know why. Why do people have such different responses? And Roxanne and I went to lunch together one day, and I shared that with her, and I said, you know, I'm really interested in this. I think I'd like to find out more. And I said, hey, do you want to do this with me?
And in a very self-serving way, I said yes, because I was beginning to think about downshifting and really hadn't a clue about what to expect. I was finding it difficult to let go and was curious to understand how other women dealt with that. So I figured this would be a great way to find out.
The other thing for me was I had a sense, although it's turned out to be bigger than we thought, I had a sense this was going to be a big project. And I knew if I could get a partner to help me with it, I would be held accountable. I'd have somebody that could support me, push me. On the days I didn't feel like doing it, I could call Roxanne and she'd say, come on, we're almost done with this part. It's kind of, I think of it as kind of like having an exercise partner. You know, you always get a stronger commitment to it if you've got somebody else that you know is dependent on you for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And you're both, I mean, you both have experience writing and, you know, in marketing as well. I don't know if Roxanne, that was a focus of your blog, Boomer Haiku, that I'm familiar with. And I'm curious, Roxanne, on a side note, you had such a popular blog. You had it for 3 years. Why'd you decide to stop it?
Well, it was a combination of factors. A good friend of mine was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and it was one of those, you know, 2x4s upside the head.
Sure.
Life events that make you reevaluate. And I was very, very busy with work, and I just felt spread so thin and needed to step back and still earn a living. Mm-hmm. So something had to give, I'm afraid, and it was Boomer Haiku. But now with this project, it's put the fire back in my belly.
Yes. That's great. That's great. And has it brought you two together as friends? I mean, not physically, but, you know, do you have more of a connection, and have you been able to kind of, I don't know, deepen your friendship through this book so far?
It's hard not to.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, we also say, you know, we're doing this and we are still friends.
Right. That's a better way to say it. Yes.
wondering about it sometimes. We all know about, you know, don't go into business with a friend or a spouse, right?
But yes.
Yeah, it's definitely deepened it because, well, and the thing that I tell Roxanne, and she tells me too, is we both didn't even anticipate how great a match this would be. You know, our strengths are complementary when they need to, but we both think very differently about some things, which makes us much richer and makes the book and our whole venture with Retirement Voices much broader. So it's been a terrific partnership, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who came up with that title, Retirement Voices?
I think I did.
I think Roxanne did too. Yeah.
Yeah, because it really articulates what this is all about. It's not us telling women about retirement. You know, we have our own experiences, but we can't speak for anybody else. And what this book is intended to be is a place where women speak out. They share their experiences, their insights in their own voices.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is a big project. This book was a big project because it's not just the both of you writing it. I mean, you had to gather a lot of voices for this. So how were you able to organize all of that and to get all of these people to share their experience?
Well, I'll take you back to the lunch that I mentioned where Roxanne and I said, let's figure out more about this retirement stuff. And we, at this point, we hadn't even thought about a book. We decided that we would call, each of us call 10 of our friends who were retired, and we came up with a short list of questions. And we said, let's just make some phone calls and see what happens. And the interesting thing was that not only did everybody want to talk to us about it and share deeply personal things, but a lot of themes started to come out, like identity, relationships, time. And every single one of those people at the end of the conversation, both with Roxanne and with me, said, are you guys writing a book? So when we came back together and shared what we were finding in our little questionnaires, we said, I think we're writing a book.
So then, you know, we figured how do we expand that and get more input from women who've made the transition? And that's when we looked at online. So we developed a questionnaire asking the questions that we had about this whole process and created a website, put up the questionnaire, and then we took to, you know, networking, working our own networks of friends and family and business colleagues, past and present. We posted on Facebook communities, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We guest blogged, just everything we could do to get the word out and drive women to the website.
And we had a 90-day submission period last year. As Roxanne was saying, we, you know, did everything we could to drive people to the website. We also were very fortunate to find some affinity organizations like AARP Maine and others who put the call out for us, really expanded our reach. And we found that our email chain, our email that announced the submission process actually became a chain of emails. So we had friends who sent the email to friends who sent it to friends. So many of the women who responded, most of the women responded, we don't know, because of the way the word went out.
And I think that's great because you get a wider variety of answers, right? You don't just get your friends who are like you, who have similar experiences, but the fact that it was spread so widely, you get a real array of answers and perspectives, which I think is great.
Yes, and we did. I think we ultimately ended up with nearly 300 submissions, and the women came from 38 states, 10 other countries outside the U.S., and even two women who were cruising on their sailboats.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
The thing that's important to understand about the book, and we've ended up titling it Voices from the Other Side of Retirement, and the thing that's important about it is it's not intended to be a research study or a sociological paper. It's you know, it was just us being really curious about the phenomenon of retirement, putting our questions out, inviting as many women as possible to respond, and they self-selected. So, you know, it wouldn't be considered a study paper that would be published in a research journal, but it doesn't, that to us doesn't matter. The depth of responses, the range of responses, and the really deeply personal nature that of things that women were willing to share was really amazing to us.
Yeah, and while most of the women who responded are white collar, in white collar professions, we still got such a diversity of women in terms of occupations. I mean, we got school teachers at all levels, from elementary up through college professors, administrators, doctors, nurses, senior management in corporate positions, people, women in IT, attorneys, social workers, people working in government, artists. I mean, it's a real cross-section, I think, that reflects all the places women are in careers.
Very interesting to hear about all of those different occupations.
And I think what blew us away too is that women were willing to be so candid on, some of these topics, asking about relationships, for example. They were remarkably forthright, and that was tremendously moving in many, many of these responses, that women were willing to share that much.
We decided, when we saw all the range of responses that came in, it became really clear to us that, this book is about their voices, which is why we've titled it the way we have. And so it's really a compilation. On each chapter is a different theme, and it's a compilation of what these women told us. So it's verbatim quotes and sometimes short stories about their experiences. And then Roxanne and I weave that together with our own narrative. But it's not intended to be a prescriptive book telling people how to retire. Mm-hmm. It's intended to be a book that allows people to see what other women have gone through so that they can maybe recognize themselves, maybe get some validation, or maybe it changes their focus and they start getting suggestions about ways to address some of the issues they're facing.
So you shared with us the people who contributed to this book. Now, on the other side, let's talk about who this book is intended for. Who are some ideal readers of this book?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's women who are setting their sights on retirement, whether it's next month or 5 years down the road. But if they're thinking about it, contemplating stepping away from a career, it's a way to get a heads up about what to expect so that they're more emotionally prepared for this transition. We would hope they've got a financial planner and are doing all the right things to make the financial leap. But there's this whole other set of considerations that you need to think about, because when you're particularly, I think of baby boomer women. In a lot of ways, we are the first generation to have spent our entire lives in a career in such numbers. I mean, yes, some of our moms work, but not to the degree that baby boomers have. So it's huge when you step away from something that you've identified with and by for your entire adult life that suddenly no longer a part of your day-to-day existence. And then there are all the other things. As Leslie said, suddenly you find yourself home with a spouse in a way that you weren't before. Or you wake up on the day you're no longer working and you look at your calendar and there's nothing on it. These are all serious things to think about.
So as Roxanne said, primarily we're thinking it's for women who are beginning to think about retirement, but it's also for women who are already retired. I mean, we find that there's a need for some validation sometimes. And it's not that, we're certainly not going to say that there's one right way to do retirement. So women aren't looking for that, but they just want, I think, we're naturally joiners as women. We naturally reach out to each other in times, especially of change. So it's for somebody who's already retired and maybe struggling a little bit, or just saying, you know, I wish I knew a better way to build a social network because now I've lost all my work friends.
Right.
They can read this book and see what other women have done, and it may help them in their own retirement journey.
As far as the book, it's not done yet, but when do you hope to have it ready for sale?
Well, it's a little bit of an unknown right now. We've decided to go the traditional publishing route. So we're going to be looking for a literary agent or a publisher to put the book out there. And with a nonfiction book like ours, what is required is some sample chapters, which we've already written, and a proposal, which is think of a really complicated business and marketing plan.
that's your area there, Leslie, right?
Yeah. That's been the monster in getting this all prepared. But we have our proposal and our sample chapters done. They've gone through a round of edits. And so we're just about at the point of beginning to send it out to agents and publishers. So at that point, it really, you know, it could be quick, it could take a while, but we're just going to continue for a number of months soliciting agents and publishers to see who we can get interested in it. We did go to Book Expo in New York City last May, and we're really encouraged because we had a couple of publishers who said they were very interested in getting the proposal when it was done. So they're obviously our first target group.
You're getting everybody excited. So
we hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess, you know, just final question on the book, what have you both learned from working on this book together or individually?
Well, first and foremost, we've learned that writing and publishing a book is a massive undertaking. We, you know, as first-time wannabe authors of a nonfiction book like this, we really had no idea of the amount of work that it takes. And we have a renewed appreciation for anybody who has a book on the shelves.
I think, and from our respondents, the thing that just keeps coming back to us over and over again is that, you know, retirement is deeply personal, and it's a very individual journey, and there isn't any one right way. And, you know, we are not going to tell anybody how to do it. We're going to show them the variety of ways and hope that it helps them craft their own. You know, each of us has to build a retirement that fits our personalities and our circumstances. And sometimes we may or may not get support from all of our loved ones for it either. We've heard a lot of that too. Another thing I think we've learned is that, you know, that as we talked about women being joiners and looking for connection to each other, we've learned that these women, at least who responded to us, the almost 300 of them, were really willing to share their experiences for the benefit of others. They know why we're writing this book, and they want to be part of it because they want to, you know, that it's that whole thing about women helping women and how that never gets old.
Absolutely not. Yes. Yes. That's great. I love that. So now let's talk about your new blog. We have a couple minutes left. Tell us about your new blog and, you know, who's that for? How can people find it, and what can they expect to see there?
Well, our main intent, more than just writing a book, we wanted to create a community, a place where women can speak and be heard, you know, have their voices heard. And we figured a blog was a good first step, a nice interactive forum where we can share information until our book is published. We'll say that in positive terms, optimistic terms. And it's, excuse me, bi-weekly. So every 2 weeks, we have a post, and we're sharing our own experiences and perspectives. And we'll also be presenting that of women who've been through it. We'll be talking to subject matter experts, whether it's, you know, retirement coaches or psychotherapists or anyone who has some relevant and useful information to shed some light on what women can expect.
And I want to just reinforce what Roxanne was saying, is that, you know, our website is retirementvoices.com, and we see our whole umbrella of the community that we're creating as Retirement Voices. So the book is really one pillar to that. The blog is a second piece. And we're hoping it'll be a while, and not till we get the book finished, but we're hoping to also move into podcasts where we'll be interviewing women and about their own retirement journeys. And if your listeners are interested, they can go to our blog. The first two blog posts that we wrote, we each wrote about our retirement journeys in a little more detail. If they're interested to hear more about us and that, they can go to retirementvoices.com and see the blog there.
Well, this whole, I mean, it just started with a lunch, right? And now you've created a brand around Retirement Voices. And I think that's wonderful. So I am going to put all of your links. You have a website, Retirement Voices. You have a Facebook page. You have a Twitter page. And then I'm also going to include both of your LinkedIn pages so people can connect with you there as well. So the audience can go there and they can stay connected with you both and, you know, get some content while they're waiting for the book to come out. Is that right?
That's right. And that's terrific. Thank you, Kim.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for writing this book. I think it's wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. And best of luck finding a publisher. I know you'll get scooped up by somebody.
That's from your lips.
What's that?
From your lips.
From my lips. Yes, that's right. Okay, ladies. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing about your new book. Really appreciate it.
And thanks for having us on your show.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more Me Time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.